We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
Honestly, like, just a side note from me, like, seriously consider your life choices if this is the kind of questions that you're getting. I don't know. Like, that's ridiculous. Whoever that is, you need to get that job and then go in there and strongly recommend that they have some interview training, because that is not okay.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hello everyone. It's time for our favorite part of every single episode. It's the Shoot Your Shot shout out. This is where we celebrate you guys, our listeners around the world. You've gone out there, you've shot your shot, you've used our advice, something that we told you to do, and you're reporting back with an update. So this time we are shouting out Foxy P, who bought us 5 coffees. Maybe a little nickname there.
Yeah, a little bit of an anonymous name, but nonetheless, Foxy P, let's hear what you had to say. They said, thank you so much for your inspiring, comprehensive, practical, authentic, accurate, backed by evidence and real life experience podcast. I could go on with more adjectives, but really, I just wanted to express my thanks for everything that you so generously do in putting out your content into the world. It's so valuable that it really shouldn't be available for free. I recently went through a recruitment process for 2 jobs and had many rounds of interviews, and I got one of them. It's the best fit of the 2. After a 5-year break from being in a recruitment process, following your advice, all of it made such a difference to my confidence, performance, and I'm sure the end result, right down to the salary and start date negotiations. Thanks, thanks, thanks.
That is incredible. Em, I'm going to ask you a question. Pick your favorite adjective that Foxy P used.
Probably accurate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not inspiring.
No, I like accurate. What about you? Why are you asking me this?
Well, because I have a favorite. And it's funny that you should say accurate, because my favorite that I felt was a personal compliment, because I think anyone can be inspiring. You just say whatever the hell people want to hear, really, and it's inspiring. Backed by evidence. That made my little scientist heart happy.
You just said before that your favorite word was inspiring.
No, I was just challenging you. I thought your word might be inspiring.
Yes, women in STEM. And that goes for me too, because I'm a journalist. So I like things to be accurate. So that tickles my journalist brain.
Yep. Both of our degrees. For those who haven't heard about my background, I have a science degree in psychology, but definitely a science girl, not like a coming from the arts perspective, all about evidence, the scientific method. So thank you so much, Foxy P.
Sarah probably should have been an engineer.
Maybe, but I decided not to at the last minute because I was like, I don't know, I just think I would be a little bit bored. Maybe that's not the case now that I know what engineers kind of can spend their time doing, but none of the, you know, set disciplines really excited me.
All those years of you building little weird battery robot motor things are just wasted. What a useless talent.
I know. Well, now I'm just gadget girl in my spare time as a bit of a hobby, just collect little gadgets. Anyway, that was a total side note. So if you want results like Foxy P, and maybe our shouldn't be available for free content isn't really doing it for you, maybe you need more structure or more personalized support, you can check out my one-on-one coaching sessions. You can find out all about them, plus Interview Academy, which is getting some awesome upgrades at the moment. If you're listening to this as it's coming out in the month of August or September, around that time,
it's having a huge glow up.
It's having a glow up. So go and check it out. I'm adding new things every day. I did some awesome stuff today. I don't want to talk about it because, like, maybe that will be old news by the time you're listening to it, but go and check out whatever the latest is, interviewboss.com.au/coaching. And maybe one of those is the right fit for you to get the absolute best fastest track prep for your interview.
Yes. And as always, if you want to request an episode specifically on your industry or conundrum, kindly follow us on Instagram, slide into our DMs, and we might dedicate a whole episode to you. Also, feel free to send any wins, any shoot your shot shout out messages, and just general praise, you know, keep it up. We like to feel inspired.
We do. It doesn't have to be DMs. You can be email, like comment, whatever platform, you know, tickles your fancy. We'll hear you on one of the platforms. And
this week we are doing an episode all about when you get asked a question in an interview that's double barrel. It's got two parts. And by the time they've even finished reading out the question, you're like, shit, I've already forgot what the first part was.
Yeah, it's like the question's still going and I've already forgotten the first bit and the question's still coming and I'm forgetting each word as they say it. I had a little vision when we started this that you were going to call it like a double pronger. Would you say that?
No, I think triple prong works. I don't think I would ever say double prong. Or we could be Aussie. Why don't we dub this the double plugger? In honour of thongs.
Why is it a double plugger? There's no such thing as a double plugger.
Yes, there is. Oh, my God. Aussies are cursing you through the phone right now. So thongs, for those from overseas, not the G-string undies, but flip-flops. We call flip-flops thongs in Australia. Everyone wears them, whether it's winter, summer, people have thongs on. And you can get varying levels of thongs. So you can get just like kind of service station cheap $2 thongs, or you can get like surf shop brand cute thongs, or you can get like industrial dad backyard thongs. And those are called double pluggers. So whenever an Australian is walking and if you accidentally like tread on a nail or like, I don't know, maybe your feet are wet because you've been at the pool. And so when you take a step, you take too big of a stride, what can happen is the plugger pops out.
Or someone treads on the back of your shoe and your foot steps out of your shoe and the bit that holds it underneath the bottom in between your toes pops out.
Flies off. It's called losing a plugger. So if you're walking and you're like, ah, I've done a plugger, bloody hell. And then you get a bread clip and you can put it underneath it to like bodgy it up until you go home and get new pluggers. Anyway, so there are certain Aussie battlers out there that will only buy double plugger thongs, which is where on each side there is two plugs holding the bit down.
Interesting. Okay. Well, maybe these questions, I love the idea that there's going to be someone out there and it's going to be funnier if you're not Australian, to be honest, and you hear a question coming at you live in the interview and you're thinking, oh, it's a double plugger. That's going to be really funny in your head.
I've just looked some up. You can buy them on Rocco's website and it's called Rocco's Double Pluggers in Black. And it says,
how is this house plugger? How are we spelling that?
P-L-U-G-G-E-R-S.
G-G-E-R.
Yeah. So it says, Rocco's is the home of the double plugger thong. Whether you're finishing off the Cape or crossing the Nullarbor with mates, don't be caught dead without your trusty double pluggers. Built to get you from the Kimberley to Kosciuszko and back, double pluggers are designed to handle everything this great land throws at them. Rugged durability. So yeah, tough conditions. Anyway.
Yeah. Hey, tough conditions is exactly what we're facing with a multi-prong, double plugger, triple plugger question.
Yes. It's complex. So why would anyone decide to torture us with double plugger interview questions?
Well, I think there's kind of two camps that I think about for why the hell these come up. The first is a bit innocent, really. Sometimes it could be accidental from your interviewer. So this is probably if it's more of like a casual on the fly, they haven't got a set list of questions and they've kind of accidentally asked you a badly worded question because they're kind of thinking of the question as they're saying it. And so they've said, tell me about this. And then their brain's going, oh, but I really want to know about this. And so they've accidentally kind of thrown you out a question with too many words in it. And it's a bit of a thinking out loud type question. I think we've talked about this before. When it comes to like having a good interview, even when you have a bad interviewer and all sorts of other different things, I think we've kind of alluded to it. Sometimes that can just be the case. And asking someone like that to Oh, do you mind asking that again? I just want to make sure I've got it. That will sometimes make them go, oh yeah. And they'll actually rephrase it in a way that makes more sense. So if it feels like it's come out off the fly,
like in a rambly way.
Yes. Don't panic and think, okay, I've got to prepare for a multi-part question. Get them to clarify first, because it could just be a bit of a misunderstanding. They've just been a little bit unclear about what they're actually asking for. So that is one place that you might find them. But I think for the most part, if you're listening to this episode, you're going to fall into the second camp. And this comes from, I find that they tend to be regulated environments. It's government, federal, state, council, local, whatever you call it. Governments are the worst culprits for this kind of stuff. But you also find it in places like education, healthcare, maybe some really large organizations too, like the kind where they have a capability statement and framework and leadership documents and like selection criteria that are really formal and structured, like all that kind of stuff is where you're going to find potentially these kinds of questions. And honestly, it's bad practice. Like, it's a terrible, terrible way to ask an interview question. Because how are you actually getting the best out of someone by asking them two things at once? Why would you not just separate them? Like, it's unnecessary and it's awful.
You're not really setting them up for success. It's such a low chance that the person's going to answer it comprehensively. It feels like they're going to be vague about one part because they're racking their brain trying to just remember where they were going with it.
And in what circumstances would you ever in normal life ask someone something like that? Like, you would put it in writing, sure, maybe if you're asking multiple questions, but you would never verbally say, I have three questions for you, let me give them all to you before you're allowed to respond, and you have to remember what they were and respond to them all properly.
Unless when you text your boyfriend 100 thoughts and they only reply to the most insignificant element and ignore the rest.
You know what? That's in writing. That's different. They can look back. They've got moments to think. The pressure's not on. It's not like in person, I'm putting you on the spot. I think it's wild. It's awful. And if you are in this situation, I really feel for you. I just wish we could ban this kind of stuff. If you've heard our selection criteria episode, you know how I feel about this kind of stuff. It's an abomination to recruitment, to be honest.
We can't outlaw it, unfortunately.
No.
So we've got to learn to survive it. So how do we do that?
We can't outlaw it. Oh, imagine. Yeah, no, we can't. So we're going to just tell you how to deal with it. As we always say, we are here to deal with the world as it is, not sit here and talk about how we wish it was. So we're going to go through four tips. These are our best pieces of advice for how you're going to tackle this. Number one, M, what is it?
Take notes. We have our trusty notebook that we're bringing in with us. If this is the first you're hearing of this, go back and listen to our episode all about bringing notebooks into interviews. You've already got it there with you. While they're saying the question, jot down the different plugs, the triple plugger, just two words to prompt you. And then as you're reading, you can glance down, jog your memory, know that you've comprehensively answered that part, and just remember.
Yep. Or you could focus on the first one and you know that you've got the next bit written down for when you get to the end, you can look at it and go, oh, that's right, the second bit.
And also, everyone else is frantically writing down notes, so we're going to frantically write down notes as well. Fair's fair.
Yeah. Well, everyone else in the interview, do you mean?
Yeah, generally.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they're taking notes on what you're saying. You can take notes on what they're saying. Yeah, absolutely. But also, everyone else who goes into these kinds of interviews where they're getting multi-part questions, they are taking notes. I know it can feel like, I've seen people comment when people are given this advice, yeah, but it feels like they're going to judge me for not being able to. No. The people who are doing well at these kinds of crazy, wordy, double-part, triple-part questions, they are making notes. All of the rest of the people who do well at this are making notes. Do not feel weird about it.
I've just thought of a really specific camp of people who would be really, really great at this. Shout out to all the fine dining restaurant workers who take massive group orders without a notepad to flex. They would remember the triple pronger questions.
Yeah, they would. They would. I wish my working memory could compete with that. That's one of the things that I compliment people so much on in the workplace is when they remember stuff so well, like when they just have are like, oh yeah, they're this person, that's this person, and they've only just learnt that stuff. I am in awe of those people. That is incredible. Now, if you're worried about writing it down, unless you are specifically told in advance that you cannot take notes in and you cannot take notes in the interview, don't worry about it not being okay. You don't need to ask for permission. It is just blanket okay. And if it's not, I promise you the times that that's been the case, those people are told in advance in the interview confirmation, you will not be allowed notes, whatever it is. If they don't say that, you're allowed notes, okay? And proceed as if that's the case.
We're obviously not doing a dictation session where we're like, sorry, so tell me what was the next word about.
That's right.
You're just jotting down communications example, working with strategy. Like you're writing down the key points of what they've asked you and you can just address it and be like, oh, I'm just going to make some notes to make sure that I answer this question fully.
Yep. Perfect. You don't have to say that, but that can make you feel a bit more comfortable if you do feel a little bit awkward about taking notes. Think about it as if you're in a meeting. You would take notes if you're in a meeting. Like it's not a memory test. It's okay. Now, tip number two, we are asking them to repeat the question.
I've done this. So I've had a public service interview once before and they actually mentioned at the start, if you need us to repeat a question, feel free to do that.
They often will. But it still feels illegal.
Well, I did it twice. It was the second question in and it was a big long one. And as I'm concentrating, I just thought, oh God, what was the start of it again? So I just said, do you mind if you please repeat that for me? And then they did. And then the question cycled back to that exact same person again. So I kind of laughed and I was like, one more time, please. Because it was funny that it landed on him again, needing to repeat his question.
Oh, as in like it was that same person that had to repeat the other question as well.
It was a panel and they were cycling through. So this same guy repeated questions twice for me. And of course, and he did it again. And it just was so good because it was like, as he said it the second time, I'm nodding through it and I'm gaining confidence. I'm like, yes, okay, I know where I'm going. It also buys you a bit of time to have a think. So I can vouch that this works.
Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy. Yeah. Honestly, if you are the kind of person that can get a little flustered when hearing things instead of reading them, and you know you're going to be stuck keeping up with a long question, just ask them every single time to repeat the question. Don't even worry about whether you fully heard it or not. Just get them to repeat it anyway. It'll just buy you a minute to think. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. To hear every question twice, particularly if they're going to do long questions, well, then they can bloody repeat them twice and they just should have made it two questions in the first place. You can do it for every single one, or you could just save it for the multi-part ones. Like Emma said, you know, just two of them particularly long or read by the person who maybe wasn't clear, who knows? And as you're hearing the multi-part ones, think, okay, I'm going to get this again to confirm that I wrote the right notes and that I heard it properly. Great, that's your strategy.
Also, our goal in listening to these double plugger questions is to break it into two separate parts or three separate parts, depending on the amount of pluggers. So is there a main story and then there's kind of like a follow-up reflection bit, like, and what did you learn from that? Or will you need two complete stories? Like it really is two best bits, separate questions. So try and get a sense as you're listening and kind of make a mental note and physical note what your overall best bits are that need to go in there.
Yeah. And how many parts are there? Does it sound like a multi-part question, but actually it's just a really wordy question and it's just still one question? We'll show you some examples in a second. We're going to go through all the different types of the multi-part question so that you can understand how they might come to you in some different ways. But that was our tip number three, is we're thinking about breaking it into its parts. Now, our fourth and final tip is answer the first part of the question first. Obviously, kind of makes sense, right? I think it can be kind of tempting to kind of start with the end part because it's the last thing that you'd heard. It's kind of like the boyfriend texting, like they just answer the last thing that you ask them instead of going to the first bit first. So start with the first bit first. Then I think this is a particularly good tip for if you were part of that very, very small minority who isn't allowed to take notes. Just when you get the double part question, don't worry about the second bit. Focus on the first. Answer the first part of the question first and then get them to repeat the question after you've done the first part of your answer. Then you can just ignore the first part that they read out and listen to the second part of the question and then answer the second part. I think that can really help. So you could get them to repeat it at the beginning or you could get them to repeat it after you've already done the first bit. And again, that might give you some time to strategize for what you're actually going to say while you're listening again.
Which I feel like that's handy because if I'm in this scenario, I feel like I tend to nail the first part, but it's during the middle that you kind of get lost and forget what you were up to and where you were meant to go. So getting them to come in and repeat that last part would actually help you finish it off really strong instead of getting waffly.
Yep, totally. And so that you get a bit of a reminder of exactly what they said. Sometimes even like getting a reminder of the language that they've used, you've got those words again in your vocabulary and you might be able to reflect those back. So I think that's a really great strategy. You probably wouldn't ask them to repeat it at the beginning and then answer the first bit and then ask them to repeat it again and then do the second. Like that might be a little bit much. Like kind of pick your strategy as to where you're going to get them to repeat it. I think if you did two repeats for every question, that might be a bit much. Okay, so there's your four strategies. Now we're going to break down the different types of multi-part questions. Now, may I just say, this was extremely difficult to do. It is actually very, very hard to find examples of these types of questions. I don't know about you, but I think the reason that people end up preparing for questions like, what are your strengths? Is because you can't find real, actual interview questions online. You just can't. People don't go to the internet and type in the stuff that they were just asked because they tend to be really job specific. And honestly, I think that that's the reason why, like, let's do a little thought experiment here. Imagine today there were a million interview questions asked. I bet 75% of them were job specific, very targeted, very, very based on the job description requirement type questions. And then maybe some of the rest were some generic, you know, questions. It's just that sharing this very, very specific job question isn't going to be useful for a lot of people on the internet. And so people don't. So anyway, generating these and coming up with them and whatever was quite the exercise. But I've tried to pull them from a lot of different backgrounds and I've tried to keep that government kind of focus in mind and that wordiness, that horrible wordiness that they like to do. Okay, so types of multi-part questions. The first one I call two criteria in one. I think this really comes from when the interview panel have been told that they're only allowed to ask six questions or seven questions, like whatever the amount is, but they've got more criteria than that in the selection criteria. So they have to put two in one. Honestly, this is where this shit comes from. Like, and they've just put two in one and they're kind of random, but they just put them together.
All right, let's hear one. So we've got, describe a time when you supported and developed team members to enhance their skills and performance and implemented strategies to build a culture of continuous improvement in your team. Ugh.
Yeah, right. It sounds like a lot. But when you break it down and step back for a second, if you were getting them to repeat it, you might hear there's just two separate questions. Describe a time when you supported and developed team members, right? To enhance their skills and performance. Yeah, sure. That's what supporting and developing team members does. And the second question that's completely separate, implemented strategies to build a culture of continuous improvement in your team. Now, this one actually came from a real job description where these two criteria were part of a larger criteria name. And I think that's where the stuff like this happens, is that they've got two sub criteria and they're kind of different and they try and put them in the one. That's why this happens. There's two parts. I'm hoping you can see that. So the way that you'd be breaking that down is thinking, I need a story for the first one and a story for the second one. They could be totally different examples and scenarios. I'd be picking, cool, a developing team members story, best bit. And then in your second one, we're talking about building a culture of continuous improvement. Cool. Some example to do with that. Best bit. Okay, so the second type of multi-part question that you might come across is where they've spelled out a situation that they want you to tell you about. And they've said, I want you to tell us the action and then also the outcome or the lesson. So it sounds really long and it actually is going to sound like a three-plugger, but it's really just a star question, a situation, what I did, end result. It's just that, except they're spelling out that they want you to mention all those bits. Does that make sense? Instead of just saying, tell me about a time where you did blah, they're saying, tell me a time where you did blah. What did you do? What was the result? Like they're specifying that they want to hear those parts.
Which, I don't know, you could look at this two ways. When they say, tell me about a time you did X, Y, Z, the onus is then on you to know that as part of that, you need to say what you did, the result, things, cover everything. But when they're exactly spelling it out for you, it's just reminding you, like, make sure your answer includes blah, blah, blah.
It's just that they put too many words in it that makes it more confusing than it needs to be.
So an example of this is outline a situation where you were required to implement a sudden change in procedures. What actions you took to adjust your own work and make that happen, the outcome, and include any lessons learned about adapting quickly or communicating to others.
Doesn't it sound like a real government question? Doesn't it?
It does.
I can just hear someone asking that. It's just too many words.
That could have ended after outline a situation where you were required to implement a sudden change in procedures. And then you would have been like, well, I noticed that blah was happening, so I came up with this. I told the team I did this, and in the end, it better ensured blah. Like, they don't need that whole second part.
That's right. And like they are kind of giving you signposts. Like you do want to make sure that you include lessons learned rather than just the result of the process, for example. And you do want to make sure you include communicating to others. But as long as you do that and it's part of your story, like it's just the one question. So this is kind of like you think it's a double plugger, but actually it's just a single plugger. It's in disguise.
The next type of question we have is where they want a main story and then just a bit of a reflection on the end. So it can sound overwhelming, but really it's just one extra bit. What could this sound like?
So an example, tell us about a time you led a team through significant change. What did you learn from the experience and how have you applied that learning in subsequent roles? Subsequent, that's not right.
Subsequent.
Why do I know Yikes. That word? And then I just read it and was like, subsequent. So really what they're just asking for is it's a change story. It's a change best bit. You've probably got one. Awesome. We're telling that. But then we're just adding a little bit on the end. So we're doing the best bit as you've already prepped it. And then they're just asking for us to say, cool, after you finish the result and everything that was already in there, what did you learn and how have you applied that? So it's just two extra little bits. So when you're writing this down, they would be the key parts. So you'd be saying change or change story, significant change as your first main part. And then your two things that you really want to remember, because I think this is where the note-taking becomes a bit more strategic. You're going to remember the main part of the question, because that's what you're going to go and run off with thinking about. What you're going to forget is the two little bits you need to tack on the end. So that's what your notes need to say is learn and how have I applied, right? Those are the two things that you want to have in your notes.
Another type of multi-part questions you can get is the full-on multi-part criteria dump, possibly the most diabolical of the bunch.
How good is the word diabolical?
I love it. It's peak ridiculousness. So this thing is just so long that the person needs a drink of water after they say it.
Honestly, this makes me angry. As part of this role, you'll be required to manage competing priorities, lead stakeholder engagement activities, and produce high-quality reports. In your view, what makes an engagement process effective? How do you manage competing priorities? And can you provide an example of delivering a report under pressure? Like, they're saying you're going to do three things. Tell us about how you do each of those three things. So the structure is straightforward, but how on earth, like, as if that's the best way to ask those three things. It's ridiculous. And you're asking them three in a row and then three in a row again, rather than putting them in order. Like, you'll need to manage competing priorities. Tell us about that. Then blah, blah, blah. Tell us about that. Like, it's awful. Notes are really going to be your best friend here, but there are three separate stories here. I would be giving three examples.
Yeah, totally. They're all entirely different.
And honestly, like just a side note from me, like seriously consider your life choices if this is the kind of questions that you're getting. I don't know. Like that's ridiculous. Whoever that is, you need to get that job and then go in there and strongly recommend that they have some interview training because that is not okay.
Wow. So our second last one is where they want to hear what you would do in theory and then in practice.
So that first bit is like, well, how do you think about this? What's the theory? What's the blah, blah, blah? What's your approach? Or, you know, what's your leadership style?
I'm okay with this. I love a bit of a hypothetical because you can waffle and then give your example.
Yep, totally. Now, our last type of multi-prong, multi-plugger question is where we've got a combination of behavioral and situational together. So that could sound like, tell us about a time you implemented a new system. How would you approach a similar change in this organization? So you've got situational where it's like, you have to imagine it to do with what you know about us. Or it could be, tell us about a time where you had a disagreement with a stakeholder. What would you have done if it had escalated? So you've got like a, you know, it's a real scenario and then you're playing out what if on top of that scenario. So I think these are, you're dealing with two different things. You've got your story. So you're telling that as, you know, you already kind of planned, and then you're adding one bit on. So that's where you want to make sure you're writing that down in your notes and you're having to think about what do you want to do for situational. So we've got different tips when it comes to answering situational questions, but you want to talk through your thinking is really a bit of a key there.
Yeah. And don't stress about the fact that, well, I don't work here. I don't know how I would exactly apply this in the organization. They more so just want to see the way you think and that you're, you know, having an educated guess on what the best step would be.
Yeah, that's right. Well, first I would want to know about this, so I'd spend some time doing X, Y, Z. Like, you also need to make assumptions in hypothetical questions, in situational questions, because I think I've heard a lot of people get really stuck and they're saying, well, it would depend on this and then it would depend on that and then if this and then if that and then if this. You're just not giving any kind of an answer. So you need to sometimes say things like, well, assuming that I had a full understanding of why the change was happening, then I would do X, Y, Z. Does that kind of make sense? Like, you're saying, I would check this first, but I'm going to assume that that's the case and move on with the rest of my answer. Like, and then, you know, provided I'd done the research and I could justify it and I checked the budget.
Yeah. Don't get bogged down in the technicalities.
You can just mention those if you want to and then move on with the rest of the answer. Okay. How are we feeling about the multi-pluggers?
Good. I think they're less threatening now that we've humiliated them by giving them all funny names.
I know. Yeah. I really want people to think about like flip-flops, thongs.
I'm going to put a link in the show notes to what I'm talking about, the double plugger. So click on the link and scroll through the photos of the thong until it's a photo of the bottom of the thong and you'll see what I mean by double pluggers.
Yeah. We should line up an affiliate link and really get some income going through the double plugger.
Why not?
Referrals. Look, I think with these kinds of questions, they can feel extremely intimidating, particularly if you're not used to these kinds of really horrible, wordy, formal, like they don't tend to just be double pluggers or multiple pluggers. They also just tend to be like waffly, buzzwordy, just too many words like all together.
Word vomit.
And all those things are kind of coming together. But go back to our four strategies. Think about writing notes, breaking down the question, and really just treat it as if you were asked two questions separately. Like, you're kind of doing their job for them in being like, this should have been two questions. So I'm just going to make it two questions in my notes and just pretend in my head like we've just skipped the part where you asked the second one and I just tell my two stories. Or I tell my first one and then I revisit, okay, what do I have to say next? Break it down. You're going to be fine.
Small steps.
Have you heard that saying, how do you eat an elephant?
No, one bit at a time.
Yeah, one bite at a time. That's exactly right. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices and our ridiculous Aussie comparisons, hit that follow button in Apple or Spotify, or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people beat these double pluggers. For more advice, inspiration, and savable, helpful content, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss, or go find me and follow me on LinkedIn. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.